This is Ozarks at Large. 90 years ago, residents of an African-American colony in southeastern Crawford County called Ketcher were driven out by a throng of angry white residents. Almost a century later, the investigation into the incident continues, and Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this story.
Maura Bryant stands on a forested plateau a few miles east of Van Buren, looking out over Ketcher. Up until 1923, this township was a comfortable quilt of cotton fields, cabins, and clapboard homes inhabited by hundreds of African Americans. But then something terrible happened.
On December 28th, 1923, Effie Latimer, she was a white woman, she was brutally murdered. It was personal because she was so brutal. They stated that right before she died, she said that Son Bettis shot her. William Bettis, he was a black man that lived in the area. They went and arrested him. Well, he was down picking cotton, been picking cotton all day, and had no idea what was going on. They arrested him, and then the next morning they came back to Ketcher and arrested another black man, Spurgeon Ruck, and a 14-year-old boy, Johnny Clay. And they said that they found the gun under Johnny Clay's mattress. But within 1 week of the murder, they tried, convicted, and sentenced Spurgeon and William to die by execution. And Johnny Clay didn't have his trial till March, but he was sentenced to life in prison, but he was dead at 18. And the next day after the murder, the blacks had notices posted on their doors telling them to leave town within 3 days or suffer the consequences.
With help from the local Ku Klux Klan, armed men on horseback escorted Ketcher's black residents west across the old Midland Bridge, never to return. Black-owned properties were looted. St. Paul's African American Baptist Church was torched. The cemetery utterly desecrated.
There were between 400 and 500 people that were ran out of town that day.
Some of Ketcher's black refugees settled in Sebastian County, but most left Arkansas. 11 black men tried to stand their ground by barricading themselves inside one of their homes. According to news accounts, State Governor Thomas McRae dispatched a machine gun to Ketcher to restore order, some say against the seething white horde, others say to control blacks from rioting. The 11 were arrested and charged with night rioting, a crime normally assigned to white cappers. Jailed for months after Effie Latimer's murder, they were finally tried. 7 were released, 4 sentenced to prison. One black resident was killed during the purge, says Maura Bryant, the father of one of the alleged murderers.
They said that he was refusing to leave town, wouldn't take his hands out of his pockets, and so they shot him.
Maura Bryant has family roots in Ketcher. She's working on a book and has been collecting oral histories from black family members. But it's not been easy. Descendants are not clear about what happened, and those who were witness are dead.
But they will talk about it in Ketcher. Some don't want to, some do, but they talk about it, I think, a lot more than the black descendants have talked about it. They talk about it, but it's been distorted, and, you know, I mean, they firmly believe that justice was served, that the men were guilty. And now, there were some who didn't believe that the men were guilty. I know that my grandparents didn't believe they were guilty.
Maura Bryant believes the black defendants' confessions of murder and rape were coerced, and that the man responsible, records show, may have been a serial killer.
Yeah, 2 murders within days of each other, exactly the same.
Growing up, apparently my mother never discussed anything with them because they never spoke of it.
Dorothy White is 82. She's a retired oncology nurse. She was born in Oklahoma, but her step-siblings were the children of William Son Bettis, one of the 3 accused of killing Effie Latimer.
My sister who raised me, Pacolia, the only thing that she said she remembered was hearing a lot of horses running.
The sound of furious white men on horseback purging hundreds of their neighbors from farms and homes. Dorothy White's pieced together the Ketcher incident from other affected family members, and she says a stigma persists.
Most of the people just wanted to be forgotten. My family, they were ashamed to say they were from Ketcher. On their obituaries, my brother, Theola, he had Moffitt, Oklahoma, as his place of birth. So they were just ashamed of the stigma attached to their last name also. So apparently he never told his children anything either.
I know it scared everyone, white, black, the whole community, the whole county for that matter. It was it was tragic. It really was.
Evelyn E. Tana-Holliman is a professional genealogist who's documenting Crawford County's historic black population. She says before the expulsion, Catcher was a thriving black community.
There were stores, there was a post office, there were schools. They had a deputy sheriff who was a black man, Alan Bobo. And it was a city in itself then.
Most worked as farm laborers. A half dozen served in the Union Army during the Civil War. And for quite some time, she said, blacks and whites got along. But after the Catcher incident, the county's black population evaporated. Finally, the story of Catcher is being told. An entry compiled by historian Wanda Gray is in the Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture. Editor Guy Lancaster, who recently wrote a remembrance of Catcher for the Arkansas Times, decided to visit the site. He started by paying his respects at St. Paul's Cemetery, finding evidence of smashed tombstones.
One of the newspaper headlines was, "Colony Negroes Flee Wrath of Whites." And sometimes you see the term colony used to describe these kind of strong black communities that exist, especially in predominantly white counties or regions.
Lancaster is an expert on the history of race violence in Arkansas. His most recent article, published in the Arkansas Historical Quarterly, is titled "Night Riding and Racial Cleansing in the Arkansas River Valley."
If these black communities are able to succeed, well, then doesn't that throw off the, you know, dominant excuse for keeping them subjugated? This was the era of progressivism and the lift yourself up by your bootstraps. And so if they can lift themselves up by their bootstraps, what does that mean for, these laws and these restrictions and this culture of segregation and suspicion? You know, it calls into question a racial hierarchy. You know, sometimes you see expulsion efforts directed at these African-American communities kind of for no reason at all.
Lancaster points to similar violence taking place at Evening Shade, Mena, and in Harrison.
They know what can happen. You know, when the threats are posted, they know it can escalate because it has escalated in so many other places. And so it creates that feedback loop where the expectation is increased violence if you don't leave.
And Maura Bryant is determined to discover the truth of what took place at Catcher 90 years ago.
I would like to get Will's and Spurgeon's and Johnny's names cleared, and because when you look them up, it shows that they were executed for rape and murder, but they were never actually charged with rape. It was just murder. And I would like to see an exoneration next to their names because they were innocent.
She and others speculate the murder of Effie Latimer provided an excuse to banish the colony in order to gain control of their mineral estates. The Arkoma oil and gas formation underlies southern Crawford County, and according to old geological records, the black residents of Catcher were living on a gold mine of natural gas. Today, XTO Energy Incorporated of Fort Worth, a subsidiary of ExxonMobil Corporation, holds a large stake on the play. Effie Latimer's people also left Catcher, migrating west in search of work during the Dust Bowl. Effie is great-grand-aunt to Linda Mitchell Griffith, who lives in Bozeman, Montana.
It affected my family in profound ways.
Griffith's family never talked about the murder and forced diaspora of Catcher's black colony until one day it suddenly came up.
I was sitting on the floor listening to them. I just turned bright red and got very, very hot. And there was a voice in me that said that's not what happened.
So Griffith traveled to Crawford County to meet with African American descendants. She believes Effie was killed by her estranged husband. News accounts say he was out of town at the time of her death, but certain kin say otherwise, that he had a violent streak and that he was romantically linked to the key witness. Those found guilty of the murder, Williamson Bettis, Spurgeon Ruck, and John Clay, she says, are innocent.
And to me, when I heard that she identified some Bettis shot me, that sounds an awful lot like somebody shot me. Effie had been clubbed in the head with the butt of the gun, and if her skull was fractured, the chances are she would not have regained consciousness, and that would definitely take away that key witness, that key piece of evidence. I have considered having her body exhumed to determine if the head wound she had was so severe that she would not have regained consciousness, and that the witnesses were not telling the truth.
So the devastating cold case known as Ketcher, nearly a century later, is finally building heat. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
Historian Wanda Gray has written an excellent chronicle on Ketcher's black history. It's published in the Encyclopedia of Arkansas History and Culture. Encyclopedia editor Guy Lancaster has written a remembrance of Ketcher. It was published in the November 21st edition of the Arkansas Times. And you can find his article, Night Riding and Racial Cleansing in the Arkansas River Valley, in the autumn edition of the Arkansas Historical Quarterly. This is Ozarks at Large.